WebmasterRadio.fm presents a show custom built to give you everything you need to build your business on the web. WebmasterRadio.fm presents CEO Coach. From funding to finance, set up to staffing, our CEO coaches break down the art of business development from the ground up. Now here to get you started are the experts of online business startup, management, and development, the founders of Outlines Venture Group, Jillian Music and Ann Kennedy.
Welcome to CEO Coach. I'm Jillian Music, co-founder of Moz and Bread Approved, and CEO at Outlines Venture Group. I'm here with my friend and colleague, Ann Kennedy, president of Outlines Venture Group, author of Global Search Engine Marketing, and co-founder of the world's largest consortium of digital marketing companies. Together, we are serial entrepreneurs helping companies to launch, grow, pivot, and thrive. Find out more at outlinesventure.com. Hello, Anne. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Jillian. Well, you remember the show we did to kick off 2018 about the sorry state of funding women founders?
Indeed, I do. That's not a pretty picture. So overall, in 2017, VCs invested less in women-led startups than they had the year before. And that was definitely not in the right direction. So in 2017, as I recall, women received $1.9 billion of the $85 billion total invested by venture capitalists. That data was coming from Fortune magazine. They said that, all women teams got the $1.9 billion, which resulted in approximately 2% of that money, and then the mixed gender teams got 12%. So not good numbers.
You might also remember that when we closed out that episode, you had a request. You pleaded with me for better news next time. And I think I've got some.
Oh, thank heavens. Let's hear it.
Okay. PitchBook, a company we are well familiar with, Seattle company that tracks every aspect of public and private equity markets, including venture capital, private equity, and M&A, has published a series of articles, I suspect, very much in honor of International Women's Day, which was March 8th. Kate Clark, who's a venture capital writer, updated her research on women and funding, and she came up with more encouraging results than those dismal overall numbers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dismal indeed, right? Only 2%, remember. And, they've averaged under 17 for the last 12 years. So what's the good news?
Well, when Kate Clark drilled down into the data from the top 10 cities around the U.S., she found that, in fact, funding to women-led companies increased in the last year, as much as 47 and 48% in Seattle and Washington, D.C., respectively, and 517% in Chicago, which tells
my
me
word.
Somebody got started in Chicago. They finally joined.
Well, somebody got the message. All right.
Somebody got the message in Chicago. So while the percentage of venture capital going to women startups in most of the top 10 cities kind of varied in the teens, 10, 20%, in Atlanta, the capital for women was 28% of all VC, and in Chicago was 32%. So these are small gains for sure, and the dollars remain discouragingly low, but it is a little bit of upward movement nonetheless.
Absolutely.
PitchBook also took a look at the number of deals firms made with founders since 2006, in other words, the last 12 years, and two have funded more than 100 women founders each. Those would be New Enterprise Associates and Golden Seeds, both of whom have declared themselves to have prioritized funding to women-led companies and diverse teams, leading teams. Another 25 closed more than 50 deals each, including a number of marquee VC names, which you'll recognize from the Valley, and Philly's own Ben Franklin Technology Partners. I just have to give them a shout out.
Right. For those of you who haven't been listening in for the last couple of sessions, Anne has moved now to the Philadelphia area. So we are now representing both sides of the United States here at Outlines Venture Group. And so Anne is digging out metrics coming from the East Coast, where we hadn't been so deeply embedded before. So that's intriguing. What else has PitchBook got for us on this?
Well, they added yet another metric that expressed the percentage of deals by each VC firm to women-founded companies. And there were some surprising standouts. Golden Seeds made 128 deals for female-founded startups that represented 90% of their total investments. Talk about putting your money where your mouth is.
Well, Golden Seeds was one of the earliest, if you will, gender-focused or gender-based investment groups. They were intentionally funding females. So, you know, shout out to them for being really early on that stage.
And Investors Circle did 68 deals with women's companies, which was 40% of their capital invested. Again, the others hovered between 10 and 20% of their deals.
Right, right. So these are fascinating things, and we will put links in the, you know, to these PitchBook reports as well as others on our Facebook page, and that's facebook.com/CEO Coach Podcast. Head in there, hit the like button so we know you were there, by the way. That would be nice. And then go find these things. You'll find links to all of these statistics and more. I interrupted you here, and I'm sorry. Tell me
about
you know, these percentages and so on.
I always like to remind people about our Facebook page. But the percent of their deals, you know, were much higher than the actual dollars. So that kind of reveals a discouraging fact that while more women received funding, they received fewer dollars, which I just got to say.
Right.
Like David Byrne, same as it ever was.
Right. Well, in some ways, yes. And we've been digging in a lot to this issue of the fact that women are funded, of course, less frequently. We're now seeing the frequency increasing. That's a good sign. But they get funded at lower valuations, and they get funded with fewer dollars at those lower valuations and so on. So those things are discouraging as we hear them. We also have to take a look at the kind of deal flow that's coming. And often we are told, again, it's about this pipeline problem, right? It's not now that they don't have enough female founders, but rather that the deals that would be those billion-dollar deals, the technology that's going to power the next big thing, the IoT, AI, blockchain, and so on, right? Those kinds of companies are not being founded by the women or by the diverse founding teams. They're still being founded by all male teams. So as we look at those things, we know that we have a ways to go in terms of, you know, getting to some serious equity along this stuff. But I do say that I find that, again, the women are asking for less. And it isn't just that if you ask for more, you'll get it, but you must be building a company that both requires and, if you will, deserves more. The women are not as frequently founding those companies because they've been locked out and blocked out intentionally at much earlier stages. And, you know, you and I, Anne, can only solve the problem in certain ways and in certain places. We can't solve the generational problem at this point at the educational stage. But fortunately, I see people beginning to do that. And as we focus on women and STEM and not locking the girls out earlier, we hope that the next generation of companies will come from both men and women. And of course, we hope that they will come from diverse founding teams, and not just gender diversity, but diversity across the board. Because as I keep saying here, as Janice Mashala always says, diversity is a proxy for being able to listen to and act on diverse ideas. It makes companies more resilient, and it makes them able to acquire new markets more quickly. It's just, you know, more heads are better in this case.
And I can just broaden that and generalize it, even universalize it for you. It's not just in this case, it's not just in funding and running businesses. It is universal that diversity produces better outcomes.
That's right.
And and homogeneity produces weaker outcomes. And that's just a given. And
that's right. If you have any doubts, take a look at the photographs of the Habsburgs.
There you are.
That much, you begin to look like a fish. and your children are idiots. I mean, there were all kinds of problems, right? And indeed, I always say again that a mutt is stronger than a thoroughbred. Right? They have longer lasting power, and they just are genetically stronger. Let's make genetically strong companies, folks. All right.
So one of the things that has been often said, and it's often quoted by the first round capital research that said that women-led companies outperform male-led startups by 63%. Now, as an aside, I'd like to say that the 122 deals first round made with women founders were a mere 10% of their total investments. So that's way, half the 12-year average. But does that mean those 10% were outperforming the other 90%? You got to ask. But anyway, the point is, PitchBook writer, another one, Dana Olson, recently began to ask the question whether women-founded companies in the data perform better. And this gets a little bit unnerving and a little bit scary, because at first she found really disappointing news that women founders received lower median valuations than men and were acquired less often. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, come on. If they received less funding in the first place, they would have lower valuations, right? Am I missing something?
Not really. And, the coin goes both ways. As we look at it, the women are founding companies that they can get their heads around and get out of at a reasonable rate all the time, right? We talked about this a little bit last week. It was the fellow from Shark Tank who said that all of his profits, not some, but all of his profits of everything he's ever invested in and the Shark Tank game here, right, was from female-founded and or female-operated companies. Now, that's a really harsh statement. If you look at that, then people, dig in, why is this so? And he said, I believe that the women have less hubris, essentially. I'm not quoting directly here, folks. I'm not looking at a quote. So, but paraphrased, it was that the men looked at problems, that were much, much bigger. They bit off way more than they could chew. They were quite sure of their ability to do all these things with very little money and very little time and very little expertise and so on. And the women were far more grounded. They chunked off what they could chew and they got it done. So he saw that there was this difference in pattern that was so stark that it was 100% of the profits. That's crazy. I don't think that that would be replicable across a whole lot of industries and a whole lot of investments. And remember, they do a lot of product and so on and on Shark Tank and, things you can touch and see. So that's quite different than going into the technology sector. Nevertheless, this idea that you, have learned from the get-go to make do with less, to promise less, to perform twice as well, right, and hope for as much, gifting of grace, from it and so on. It comes from birth onward. It is a very different experience to be male versus female on planet Earth in 2017.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right,
so we need to take a break. But when we come back, I want to share with you a couple other points that Dana Olson found when she got a little deeper into the research with more data points on this very topic. So this is CEO Coach, and we'll be right back.
More on how to get your business on the web with CEO Coach after this.
Catholic Charities is committed to providing life's basic needs.
We thank you for bringing us all here today, letting these people understand how Catholic Charities runs and how important these people are. And we ask you to guide them, to protect them, and keep them here forever because this community needs them.
Visit www.catholiccharitiesusa.org to learn more.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision, especially when you're galloping high speed on a horse named Archibello. So yes, my body hurts, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life.
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
Oh, Archibello!
Learn more at brainhealth.gov.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
We're back with Julian Music and Ann Kennedy on CEO Coach, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to CEO Coach. We're talking today about venture capital and about women-founded companies, in particular, a barrage of research released by PitchBook over the last few months. Yep. So, Ann, who's doing anything about this?
Well, before we get to that, I want to go back to wrapping up some of the other research, because remember, we were talking about...
That's true. Let's cover that.
Yeah, PitchBook writer Dana Olson, who did some deep dive research into whether, trying to answer the question, whether women-founded companies actually do perform better. And first, she found that they came out with lower valuations. And if you use that as a measure of success, well, you know, and as you said, there are many, many reasons for that. She also suggested that there is an unconscious gender bias that plays a role in that investors give male-founded companies higher valuations overall. So
yes.
Put that thought in and aside for the moment. So she went back in, adding four more data points on investor returns and time to exit, and reran the numbers. And what she then found is that the median return on invested capital was less for women than men, but the median step-up valuation was more. So what does that tell you?
So define step-up valuation for our listeners.
Would you please?
Okay. It really has to do with the amount you're adding time to the mix.
Right.
So that's the deal. And, if I put in $100 in 2010 and I have to wait till 2020 to get it out, I have a 10-year run. Now I have to amortize the capital that I might earn over those 10 years, including the cost of capital, because it has been tied up doing this investment, not some other investment. So I have to figure that out. If I get out in 2 or 3 years, it's different. That's what we're talking about, Anne, at the Sybilla mm-hmm. Masters Fund, right? I talk about better ways to get your money in and out. It isn't only about the unicorn, which is brilliant and wonderful, but unicorns are not being made in 2 and 3 years now. They're being made in an average of 11 to 15 or 16 years to begin with, which means you've got to tie up your capital for a long time, and you only get to play the game a couple of times. At your age and mine, we get to play the game, what, once, twice? Right?
it's not a lot of fun,
right? Exactly. My point, exactly. So if you're going to play this game as an investor, and really this show is for investors, you know, folks, listen up. Figure out better ways to get your money in and out more quickly. If you doubled my money in 2 years, I'm a happy camper. 3x in 5, I'm still a happy camper. I don't need 100x, unless, of course, you're going to tie my capital up for 10 to 15 years.
So, right along the same lines, what Dana Olson also found out is that women founders generally had shorter times to exit, or since 2010, had shorter times to exit. So in 2017, women founders went from first funding to exit in fewer than 4 years, while the men took more than 5. So the answers are mixed, and Olson concluded that other facts may make the data hard to quantify. First, the number of women founders in the sample is so much smaller than the number of men-founded ones by, you know, a factor of 6 or 7x. And we know that men founders receive nearly all of VC funds, and if we include women founders who built their companies on other sources of funding, the performance data would look very different, since so many do succeed despite the lack of venture capital. With those unreported exit valuations, we can't get a definitive answer out of just the numbers from the VC world. So
I would agree. We're not ready to let the guys off the hook yet. But rather than look for blame, if you will, or bad actors, I would say that we all, every one of us, comes to the planet and everything on the planet with our own biases. We look at it from what we experience, and that makes sense. So that's good. But just saying, you know, what has happened in venture capital has been quite good. We have funded an extraordinary amount of companies that have moved the technology of the planet forward. It simply hasn't taken advantage of 100% of the opportunity. And that in itself is okay too. If the existing venture capital structure continues to fund the software that powers the next big thing, then there is an opening in what we would call quiet fields. That's why we formed the Sibylla Masters Fund. It's so that we can look for either unicorns or really solid investments where others are not necessarily looking. It's different. It doesn't mean we won't fund anything in IoT, AI, and blockchain, right, and whatever comes next, but it does mean that we're looking at a much broader set of opportunities and that we're looking at better ways to get our money in and out based on today's requirements rather than the requirements of 1994 through 97 or 2000.
And let's just repeat for once, as we're talking about the Sibylla Masters Fund, which we have just launched, that our absolute defining requirement is?
Oh, yes, that there is one woman in a position of strategic and operational control. We're not asking for all female founders. We're not asking for, you know, everybody that must have a CEO as a female. This is a pretty small ask. So if you're founding a company and you're looking for that kind of capital and you have an interest in this particular fund, you must have at least one woman on that team.
That's right.
Not a big deal. Yeah. All right. We're just pushing the numbers a little bit. But again, we do so based on the fact that the reports keep coming in that says that gender diverse as well as other diversities, right, will help your company more resilient and more proactive, acquiring new markets more quickly and efficiently. We do it because it's a good business.
And we're not the only ones.
No.
There is a not-so-quiet revolution among women going on. For starters, a group of Silicon Valley women VCs formed Female Office Hours, at which they meet founders to help them polish their pitches and business plans, i.e., their mentoring. Sound familiar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've held office hours in San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York, Boston. These are people who work at venture capital companies. So this is powerful stuff.
Very. Yeah. And there is a heap more information about them at femalefounder.org. And then in Canada, I know you've uncovered a couple of really interesting things.
That's right. There's the first all-female angel investor club that opened in, Victoria, British Columbia on Vancouver Island. And I spoke just recently with Nicole LeBlanc from Toronto, who runs BDC Venture Fund, $180 million, 10 years old, and also chartered to source and fund all genders in technology. This fund boasts, I think, 50% or more women founders. So significant, progress there. I also have talked to, Senefer Mendoza of Mendoza Ventures, and she says, by our very name, we are an anomaly. She's right. How many Latin American, venture capital groups are you finding in the Northeast, and so on? They come out of Boston. They fund both men and women, and she says, yes, we have trouble sourcing female founders. Absolutely. So I'm helping her to find some of them. But again, many are not ready. Many have not had the advisory services that the guys have had access to. And she sees the same. And she also tells me, I feel like I'm doing this in the darkness all alone. So one of the things we're doing in 2018 is getting together those female funders. And that's pretty exciting, too. Next wave capital down in Silicon Valley set up a group in which nine women invested $100,000 and went out to the cities of their respective places of origin to find nine more. And each one of those would put in only $10,000 a year for 3 years. When you put it all together, you end up with a couple of million dollars worth of fund. I think it's a $3 million fund. So they're still reasonably at the angel stage, although you could say early VC. But hopefully, again, over the years, this will expand and grow, and you'll have a much more significant fund over time. So we're finding some, lots of points of light. Arlen Hamilton in Los Angeles is a black gay woman who wanted to be an apprentice at the traditional VC groups and applied to many and was rebuffed by all. So she made her own circle. She owns Backstage Capital and is kicking butt and taking names. She's doing quite well, and we're excited to see where her portfolios go. She's raising her fund as well now and is active, not just here, but being acknowledged around the world. So I'm excited to watch her trajectory.
And we need to take a quick break for our sponsors right now. And when we come back, we have a couple of hot tips about how women can begin to make even more of a difference in these disappointing numbers. This is CEO Coach, and we'll be right back.
More on how to get your business on the web with CEO Coach after this.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
There are over 70 million active podcast listeners in the U.S.
WebmasterRadio.fm reaches them all with the largest global distribution of any online business-to-business podcast network.
Through iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, we can target and place your message in front of those active listeners immediately. Now, your message can be delivered with less commitment and investment on over 20 hours of weekly original content hosted by the most respected names in digital marketing. Email sales at webmasterradio.fm today and get your message delivered now.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
We're back with Jillian Music and Ann Kennedy on CEO Coach, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to CEO Coach. I'm Jillian Music with Ann Kennedy, and we've got a few tips as we close up this show today, talking about gender equity in funding.
So the first one I have came from another link from the PitchBook recent list that they put up to celebrate International Women's Day, and all these links will be on our Facebook page. One of the practical notes came from a doctoral fellow at Columbia University called Dana Kanzi, and she reported that what her research revealed about gender bias and how to combat it had a lot to do with debasing the notion that everything would be hunky-dory if only VCs hired more women. Right. It turns out they tend to identify with their male VC partners and act in concert with them. So how did she come to this disappointing conclusion? At Columbia, she learned about regulatory bias, and that has nothing to do with bureaucrats in government, and it has everything to do with the Q&A that follows a pitch. It turns out there are two kinds of questions, preventive questions and promotional questions. And guess what? Women get asked the preventive questions and men the promotional. For example, a man might be asked, how will you grow your customer base? While a woman is likely to be asked, how will you retain the customers you have? Get the difference? Do you see how the first is growth-oriented and optimistic, while the second is limiting and pessimistic? So which would you rather invest in? So how'd she do this? Kanz evaluated all the pitches from TechCrunch, Disrupt, and New York, and more importantly, all the Q&A and she used both automated and manual methods to find promotional language or preventive words. And at the end of the day, she found out that just what I said, the men were routinely asked promotional questions and the women preventive ones, and the women VCs on the judging panels were just as likely to do so as the men. So the antidote, and here's the tip, the hot tip, is to answer a preventive question with a promotional answer. In other words, reframing it in larger, more optimistic ways. And actually, it's a really good tip for taking control of a situation anytime. But of course, first you have to be aware it's happening.
Absolutely. And again, it's, how should I say, it saddens us to say that this exists and that we have to learn these tactics to get to the next stage and so on. Nevertheless, the reality is the playing field, and getting past it for all of us, both the people asking the questions and the people answering them, we have to move things in the right direction. And so when the interviewee, the founder, does take control, it helps to kind of present to the questioners what is going on with them. So that really does help over time.
Yeah, so the point she said is that there is, as you're saying, Jillian, a built-in stereotype that women will be less successful, and so they receive less investment. And this creates a vicious cycle that makes it harder for them to succeed, and it also skews the stats on women founders' performance, as we've seen. So bottom line, as with every bias, both women and men investors need to acknowledge the biases and actively seek to overcome them. So that's my first hot tip. VCs, both men and women, need to be aware of unconscious bias when it rears its ugly head and seek to look beyond it when making investment decisions.
Makes good sense to me. We have a couple of final tips before we close up here, Anne. The networks that support each other in terms of the women investors, the women founders, the networks of people who are supporting all of the above, these things are critical to the success of founders, right? The founder experience is pretty darn tough. It's a dark road, and we've read a lot about that over the years, from depression to, you know, just the hard slog, right? But what makes it possible to get through, and what makes it reasonable to, you know, really build these wonderful, monstrous companies and to get out the other side, are those peer mentors, mentors from the next stage up, advisors, which are different than mentors. The mentor helps you as the CEO, as a person, as a professional entity, and so on. The other will be advising your company and on your movement. And sometimes there is an overlap, of course, right? And then finally, it's connections to the people that matter. And that would be the venture capitalists, the bankers, the accountants, the attorneys, the M&A people. Those would be partners and vendors and suppliers, as well as your customers. When you have those networks, you are more likely to succeed. So as we move back to the investors, we're saying, investors, let's get together. So again, we'll have more about that in future podcasts, but we will be gathering the female investors as well as the fund managers, and we will be asking the men to join us too.
Absolutely, because we women are the community builders. It's hardwired into us, I think, for ever since there have been women. So groups, and that's why we see groups of women investor networks rising around the country. This should come naturally, and that's because that's who we are.
That is who we are.
Okay, that's it for this week at CEO Coach. We'd like to thank our producers at Webmaster Radio for their support. You can download these shows at webmasterradio.fm/shows/CEO-coach, and also at iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and many other places around the web. You'll find links and more on our Facebook page, CEO Coach Podcast. Do stop by and hit the like button so we know you were there, and tell us what you would like to hear about on CEO Coach. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ann Kennedy with Jillian Music, and you can find more about how we help companies to launch, grow, pivot, and thrive at outlinesventure.com. Till next time. We'll be right back.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.